This episode contains adult content. Listener discretion is advised. So as you hear all these Onis and they kind of appear, they're kind of in different spots. But the way that you guys have to be led, or the way that Jorfinn is leading you, is going upstairs. And there are two Onis are going to be in your way going up the stairs. You hear from behind you, Cyclops, and he puts a hand on Soot and he says, don't worry about the Oni. We will take care of them. You make your way to the top.
Such a fucking hero. So jealous. I'm so jealous of him.
I give him a nod and a salute and a respectful musician's bow.
Okay. So I actually am going to have you guys roll for initiative anyway, just because even though they're going to be helping you out, you're still going to have to kind of get past them. So you might get engaging in battle anyway. So I'll have you guys roll. I will also roll a...
How do you play D&D?
I'm going to roll initiative myself for the crowd, basically. All your minions.
Yes, yeah. All the mooks, yeah.
That's right.
So 17 for Sutsuki.
I also got 17.
Ooh, oh, look at that, you guys.
What's your dex?
16.
So is mine. Twinsies.
Twinsicles.
I turn around and look, and you look like me.
Yeah, I definitely still look like you. We look at each other, and we both lose our first turns. That's because we can't figure out who goes first. We're like bowing. We're bowing to each other. Like, after you, sir. No, after you. After you, sir.
Jesus. All right. So you, hold on. I have to roll for Jorfinn as well. I forgot. He is separate from that crowd because he is kind of in your crew.
Did he finish the ritual? Will he need to be protected while he ritualizes? Or am I going too far back in time? Are we past that?
Finished.
We'll say he finished the ritual. Yeah. Yep. And that he is basically just kind of following the path, basically. Yeah. So you guys are actually up. So
I'm gonna actually use my second. I have two more uses. I'm gonna give him Bardic Inspiration. So like before the combat even begins, I'll turn to him, put my hand on Black Claw's shoulder, and just, this is it, my friend. The final battle is upon us. You know, we can do this. And like that'll be like my Bardic Inspiration bullshit thing. Ooh, so now you have Bardic Inspiration. Yeah, 1d6. Nice. I got two more uses of that. Unless we can get a long rest while we're in the middle of this final battle.
I mean, if somebody puts you to sleep and then tries to whack on you for a couple of 8 hours, yeah, maybe.
That'd be great.
I guess I take up a position in front. Or is anybody in front of us? Is someone in front of Jorfinn?
Not at the moment, but as you're going to be going up the stairs, there's going to be a crowd of people that kind of go in front of you to try to take on the Onis, but also you guys have to kind of get past as well. Okay. So it's going to be a thing where as you get close to the Oni, like I'm going to have you probably roll it with an advantage to kind of get past them, but you might have to engage with them as well. So, right now you're probably about, I want to say, let's say like 15 feet away from them.
Okay.
And it would be right now it's Jorfinn, you and Soot. And so you can decide if you want to go in front of Jorfinn and just kind of lead the way and have him kind of guide you, or if you want to just have him go and then you can kind of guard him from the side. I don't know. It's up to you.
Yeah. So if the rest of the group ran in front, then I don't necessarily want to be in front of him because I don't know where we're going. Because they'll play as blocker, so I guess I just follow close on Jorfin's heels, and I will toss out an Eldritch Blast because why not?
Okay. All right. So first what I'm going to have you do is I'm going to have you roll with advantage a dexterity check just to kind of get past the Oni without getting involved. And then if you do, then you can throw that Eldritch Blast as you're going.
All right. So that is going to be a 14 plus 3 is 17 again.
All right. Perfect. Yeah. So so right away, like a dwarf and an elf just kind of to start like wailing on this guy, and he's like trying to protect himself, and he like goes to grab for you and doesn't quite get you. And as you're kind of going by, you like try to throw an Eldritch Blast his way. So yeah, is that a spell that you have to roll for, or is that something that you?
It's a cantrip. I think you still have to roll for it. It's 120 feet, 20-10 damage. I don't think it's automatic.
Okay.
So that'll be a 13 plus, I think it's 5 for my spells. Oh, plus 6. So 19.
Nice. That will hit.
All right. That's D10. Nah, only 2. That sucks.
Uh-oh. Sorry, I'm just kind of writing out some space.
Yeah, isn't there like plus some sort 4. Of
a... It's 6. Yeah. It's actually 6.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay.
Because I have the Agonizing Blast. Feature
6 total.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So he like kind of almost like goes to like swipe at you and he can't quite get there, and you throw an Eldritch Blast kind of at him, and it like it hits his kind of like his long black fingernails and kind of goes up his body and kind of shakes him a little bit, and it hurts him, but it doesn't like do enough to like.
Yeah,
like really shake him, but it kind of pisses him off. Like he's just like he bares his razor sharp long white teeth at you, and he like kind of snaps like he wants to take a bite out of you, and you get past.
Yeah, I was just hoping to cause a distraction. Oh, that's all.
Yeah. Yeah, and you kind of are actually. So like hopefully that'll be enough for Jorfin to kind of get past. But so you are up.
All right, so these our allies are fighting these Onis, and then Black Claws we're trying to rush by them, three of us.
Yeah, exactly. Right, okay. Well, so actually, only 2 of them, because there's one that was about 15 feet away from you, and you caught up to it, and then there's one that's a little bit more up at the top of the stairs where there's going to be some people engaging as well.
Yeah,
and so you have to get past those 2. There's 3 others that are kind of in a different spot, and they haven't quite gotten. They haven't really noticed where you guys are going because they're engaged with other of more of your allies.
All right, yeah. So I'm gonna just try to keep pace with Black Claws, and then I'm actually if probably that same one. I'm probably gonna fire off a shot from the blunderbuss at the nice. I'm gonna blunder bust him as I'm running right. So same thing. Do I need to roll the whole dexterity thing to get by him? Is that same
thing? Yes, actually. I'm gonna have you roll with advantage as well.
Aha. Oh, and I will. Okay, so with advantage, and then it's just to use acrobatics as I'm.
Yeah, if you want to use that, yep, you can definitely use that.
Yeah, I mean, trying to be. Advantage. So there's a 19 in there, so plus 4, 23.
Nice. That definitely means you get past. And yep. So it doesn't even like it looks at you and kind of snarls, but it like doesn't look like it's actually interested in you at all.
Okay, good. Then I'm gonna take aim. Take aim with my blunderbuss eye.
Nice.
16 plus 5, 21.
Nice. That does hit.
All right, and then I'm going to use my Midwest Resident Geek D6s for the 2D6 damage. Oh, a 6 of 10. 10 damage nice. Plus 3, 13 nice. Damage of blunderbuss damage to Oni head.
13 damage. Love that. Okay.
It's a bunch of like rocks and shit that I found on the ground outside that just scooped up and threw in a bag.
Yeah. It like kind of pelts them all. Kind of pelts him all over it. Even like a couple get in his mouth. He kind of crunches it. Like,
yeah, like he's just gross. Like, it's all gritty now. He can't
exactly.
Eat
he kind of looks
now.
At you like he's like not perturbed by it. He kind of like shakes it like a dog, and kind of bares his teeth at you as you go by or whatever kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay, so we weakened that one significantly.
Well, yeah, presumably. For sure.
I don't know what the Oni's hit points are.
Yeah. So the dwarf and the elf actually decide to do almost like a high-low kind of combo. The elf takes its sword and kind of slashes at its neck, and the dwarf kind of slashes at its kneecaps. And with a weird, like, adeptness, like, the Oni, like, does this thing where it like, moves itself back to kind of dodge the sword coming for its neck. And then it does something that normally you would never see in any living being. It takes its knees and like cracks them backwards and it kind of avoids the hit of the dwarven hammer. And the Oni like grabs both the dwarf and the elf by the neck and raises them high in the air. And he like smiles in this big shit eating grin, like he's just ready to just rip their throats out. And another like one of your allies comes and like is trying to kind of get past and go behind it and just kind of clips it a little bit. And he actually drops them to the ground and they kind of like start to like kind of heavy breathe and just are going to get up and either attack or look to flee. Jorfin is scared shitless by these Oni. He's never seen anything like this. He sees what, you know, what had happened with after he gotten blasted by Black Claws and the teeth. And he's almost stymied a little bit, but he's like really wants to push on. And he does, he steals himself. He kind of looks at the guy or looks at the Oni and just kind of shakes it off or whatever. And just keeps his head forward and like tries to do like the, you know, keep the blinders on, that blinders kind of thing. Yep, exactly. And he goes, he starts forward. He actually gets kind of scared and he wants to actually go past the other Oni instead of even doing anything physical. And he kind of does this thing where he stops for a little bit and he thinks like, okay, I got to go this way. And as he goes to look and go that way, he kind of slips a little bit and starts to stumble. And the Oni goes like it's going to start to grab Jorfin. Black Claws, you're up.
I pushed Jorfin out of the way.
Okay. You're going to, I would like you to roll a strength check for me.
Oh, that's going to be bad.
Yep. This is going to be an opposed roll because I'm going to oppose it against the Oni.
Forget you got the,
because you're both kind of grabbing at the same time. You're still up first. Could I make
a dex check instead? I'm not pushing against him. I'm trying to, you know, if he stumbles, but he's stumbling in the direction he's going, I want to push him so that he kind of continues to go that way. Right. Like, okay. We're not,
I suppose it's kind of a dexterity, but it's kind of strength as well, because you're using your force too. I'll allow it.
All right. Well, that's a one, so it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
All right. Push him into the Oni, and the Oni envelops him.
We'll never find the book.
Jorfin is gone, and we have failed.
Okay. I would like you to roll a D100 for me, please.
Oh, Jesus. Ooh. All right.
And you, let's pray you roll low.
87.
Ooh. Ooh. That is not what I was hoping for. No, it is not. Okay.
We can flip it. Do I have a moxie? I'll flip it. So it's 78.
Yes, totally. Totally. That makes it even better. Only 11 better. So you go to push him and you, for some reason, don't find your footing quite well enough, and you push him into the Oni, and the Oni takes his claws and jabs it into the side of his throat.
Gross.
And Jorfin makes a noise. Soot, you are up.
Oh, boy. Well, we need to deal with this now, don't we?
We can just see how everything plays out.
Probably. It's a scratch to the Oni throat, or a scratch to the throat by an Oni is probably, it's fine. Yeah, I don't think I can let this. I gotta try to pull him away too. I'm gonna try to tackle Jorfinn away from the Oni, who I'm assuming is still engaged with a lot of our allies too, right? Like they're still fighting it while we're doing this.
Technically, right now they are engaged. Yes.
Oh, that's sweet. where's this thing? Oh, it's not gonna help me. All right, so I guess my action will be to try and pull Jorfinn away. I'm gonna try to pull him away from the Oni and hopefully and get separation. That's what I'm gonna try to do. It's gonna be like a tackle situation, you know. I'm gonna try and tackle him away.
Okay, so that's definitely gonna be a strength check.
Yeah. Okay, I'll do it. I'll do the strength check. Do I have anything like? What about like a non? No. No, this is it. Yeah, this is just we can't have this. All right. Strength, athletics. Can it be an athletic thing? Because I go down to a 3-point stance and I, you know, hike and I go and I try to just muckle them out. So it's very athletic of me to do.
I think you could do that.
You give that to me. Okay, great. That's a plus one.
Yeah. What you're probably going to have to do is, because he's in front of you, you're probably going to have to like grab him and almost like wrestling move, like pick him up from his like midsection and like pull him off.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Get into the fireman's carry. And I can do it because I'm as big as Black Claw. All right. That's a 2. So a 3 total. Oh, no. We've lost Jorfinn.
Yeah. Yeah, so you kind of go to do it, and you kind of, instead of like pulling him away, you almost kind of push him in just a titch further, and you hear him just kind of go. Glop.
Great, that's well, we're fucking this up.
All right, both the dwarf and the elf both see that Jorfinn is struggling, and the dwarf is going to try to get Jorfinn unstuck, and the elf looks like he's ready to cast a spell. So I'm going to have the dwarf roll. He doesn't do anything. So he goes to try to do it again, and the Oni just kind of pushes him away with the other hand. And the elf actually puts his hands together, kind of like he's praying, but he puts his one hand kind of halfway down the other palm and says a little bit of an incantation and mumble some words, and this light kind of envelops Jorfinn, and it looks like it's trying to kind of heal a little bit of the holes that are punctured by the Oni, and it just like barely does anything and then does nothing else. And the Oni laughs as he watches Jorfinn kind of struggle. And he takes his other claw and goes to swipe at his other side of his neck.
God damn it.
And he does so. He just rips open the other part of his neck, and blood comes gushing down the front of his chest. And he just starts to kind of choke. And he is just looks like he's starting to kind of lose. He starts to kind of slump, and he's like, kind of almost like falling into the Oni, and he puts his one of his hands on the arm of the Oni that has the nails stuck in him, and he tries to kind of uses leverage to kind of pull the claws from his neck, and it does so like maybe like a half an inch and then stays, and he continues to garble. Black Claws, you're up.
Enough of this bullshit. And he takes both hands and thrusts them forward, muttering a, you know, eldritch incantation, and casts his eldritch tentacles.
Nice.
So how many people does that hit?
Okay. All right.
all of us.
I would like you to roll a d20 for me with advantage.
Okay. High is a 10.
Okay. Luckily, that's all you needed. Okay, so whispers kind of go into your head, and it's like a language you don't really understand, and it continues to mutter inside of you, and it's almost like when you're listening to like a radio, and it's just not quite in tune, and then finally it kind of like it something kind of starts to come, and you're like, okay, I can hear that. Wait, can I let me just adjust this a little bit more. And then you hear a little bit more and you're like, wait, I almost have it. If I could just attune to it just a little bit more. And it's something inside of you that tells you that if you use the power within you, you can lash out at multiple beings.
I give some of myself up to that. Like, I lean into that then, as this seems to be a very dangerous, seems like a stupid, I can't think of the word that I want to use, but yeah, like this is real bad right now. So
yeah. It's like your body just knows, and your soul just kind of knows, like, if you don't do something now, everybody could be in serious danger. Mm-hmm. Soot, you see Black Claws emit kind of a green, almost like mist around his body. Mm-hmm. Black Claws, how many beings do you want to hit with this?
If there was five Oni, I say let's do all five.
Okay. I would like you to roll me a D6 with advantage.
Okay. That's a six.
Nice. All right. So two of your stars wink out. And this mist kind of almost like waves kind of like flows out, flows back in, flows out, flows back in. And then the mist starts to kind of take shape, kind of looks like maybe like it's going to be an arm, but it isn't. Kind of almost looks like it's going to be like a whole like being, and it doesn't. And then it materializes itself into tentacles that are fluorescent green and vibrating and sounds like the waves of an ocean or a lake and lashes out. I would like you to roll me a D100, please.
There's so many rolls.
Unlike our other games.
74.
Okay. So I want you to set up the scene as far as how you unleash this hell.
So he, you know, like I said, he, you know, kind of plants his feet, you know, summons himself, kind of thrusts his hands out, you know, almost like he's, you know, doing like a, you know, a kung fu move or whatever almost. And you know, as he does so and reaches that extension, this green, you know, mist starts to, you know, emanate from him and sort of surround him and begins to vibrate. Like I said, it goes in and it kind of goes out almost like it's breathing, and it begins to coalesce in sort of twisting patterns, and five tentacles sort of resolve themselves from this green mist. And like, he just stiffens a little bit as like this is drawing at like through him and out. And he just goes rigid as the tentacles just like of a sudden just shoot out in each direction where there is an Oni. And I have a mechanical question I need to ask. So the spell is a 3d10, but for all of the other spells that I'm looking at, and I don't know if it's just a...
you don't have to worry about the damage. When I had you roll that D100, that was the damage you are going to...
Oh, okay. Okay, because I was going to ask you if I could... Because it says it with most of them, if you cast it at a higher spell level, it increases the, you know, it adds an extra whatever the die type is.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the, yeah, the fun.
Damage is a D100.
yeah. That's the fun about stars. You can use them to your advantage, and hopefully nothing else will go wrong. So
I can't imagine.
I mean, yeah.
Exactly.
We haven't everything's been going swimmingly so far. The worst things to happen at all.
Yeah. So and it's interesting too, because it should just lash out like straight and like in a line, but like it some of them like come from underneath the ground, and it like punctures the floor and into an Oni. One of it goes like through an Oni's eyeball. The other goes and like severs off one of the other's arms. And the one Oni that was holding Jorfin, it comes from behind and goes through its chest completely, almost like it's saying hello through the front of its chest, and pulls completely out. And the Oni kind of just all of a sudden, unlike an Oni, goes from complete anger and cockiness and confidence, shows fear, something that an Oni never does. And it opens its mouth to say something, and it throws up like an organ, and he falls to his knees and falls to the ground. And as he does, slowly his nails come out of Jorfinn's neck, and Jorfinn holds his neck, also falls to his knees and falls to the ground.
Someone help.
So I don't have anything. I'm not a healer. I need to staunch this bleeding. Staunch?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I do a, where is it? Is it medicine? Can I do a medicine to try and like stop the bleeding, or put like a tourniquet around his neck? Can you tourniquet a neck? Or is that just strangling a person?
You know, that's strangling.
All right. I want to try and stop the bleeding by putting pressure. You can put pressure on the neck though, without choking, to stop bleeding. Can I do a medicine check to figure that out?
Yeah. Yes. Go ahead and roll that for me.
Because we need Jorfinn, if I remember correctly. I will do a medicine check. I'm going to switch over from the My Little Pony D20 to the Midwest Resident Geek D20. Nope, that's a one. So I go ahead and I take my dagger and I say, I'm going to stop the bleeding. And I put it into the neck. Is that what a one does in this situation? God damn it.
I don't think you're supposed to move a person who's really hurt.
Are you sure? Because it feels right. What I'm doing pretty sure feels you're not like supposed to use that sharp thing. Point. Look, I have no medical training, but this feels right in the moment.
I don't think that's helping.
Kurt, I rolled a one on a medicine check to stop the bleeding on Jorfinn's neck.
I never thought I'd have this many D100 rolls in this game. So, John, I would like you to roll a D100 roll for me, and please roll very low.
I can't tell if you want me to roll bad. Do you want to kill one of your creations, Kurt? Is that what you want?
You want to roll really low on this one. When it comes to D100s on a botch, you want it low.
All right, so I don't roll a lot of these. So it's a 40 and a 2. 42? 42.
42, okay. All right.
50.
So you go to like, you like tear off part of your shirt or something like that, or someone else's shirt, and you go to like make a tourniquet, and you're like, okay, just put a little bit of pressure, and you just a little too hard. And Jorfinn makes that noise again. And he just, and you know, he like puts his hand on you, like you can tell he's like too tight.
All right, I'm sorry. Good Samaritan loss.
And he is bleeding pretty profusely. The dwarf and the elf are just like in shock. They don't know what's going on. They know they have to help you. So the dwarf actually picks Jorfinn up by the one side and kind of helps carry him. And the elf again tries to do another incantation, tries to put his hand on him to heal.
Didn't anybody bring a cleric? What the hell is wrong with you people?
They're fighting the other Oni. The aura that comes around Jorfinn has a little bit more weight to it. And oh, that's good. Okay. And he seems to like stabilize himself a little bit more. So like, you can see there's still kind of blood coming out, but it's not as much. And he's like trying to say something, but he can't. You can tell that he's just like, it's trying to get the words, but he just eventually he can't say anything. So he just points in a direction, and the dwarf actually just, and the elf gets on the other side, and they just help to get him to where you're going. The other Oni that is further up the steps is bleeding pretty profusely from, he's the one that had the eyeball kind of popped out of him or whatever, but he is kind of menacingly limping towards you. He's not going to quite make it at that moment until you guys kind of get a little closer. So Black Claws, you're up.
I whack him with an Eldritch Blast.
All right, go for it.
Let's see what happens. That's going to be 17.
That's going to hit.
Okay. Ooh, 13 damage.
Nice.
So he just kind of, as they have a, you know, an armor on either side of him, sort of half dragging, half walking, you know, I just kind of range out to the side and, you know, cast a spell to try to force the thing back as they're moving forward.
Yeah. And you kind of push him back and he like falls to kind of one knee, but then he like uses the one leg to kind of help him try to get up, and his nails kind of scrape against the ground, and he's still just trying to lumber towards you guys. Soot, you're up.
I got a quick question on the pick of usefulness.
Yes.
So once per encounter, I can use the pick to play a song I've played in my lifetime. Success on performance check 10 will do. Is that an action? That's
that will be an action.
Write that down. Okay. So, all right. So I'm going to change that. Okay. One action. Okay. That's going to. Okay. All right. So I have to be a little preemptive with that. All right. So what I'm going to do is that Oni that's like lurching toward us, I'm going to go ahead and cast. It looks pretty beaten up. It's got some damage done to it.
Yeah, it's real bloody. There's blood coming out of its eyeball. Coming out of its mouth. It's really like staggering. It's literally on its last legs, just trying to do something to get to you because he's just filled with anger of like how could I be this, you know, how could I be this damaged? How could this happen to me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a thing of nightmares.
I'm going to cast Dissonant Whispers on it. Whisper a discordant melody that only one creature... Is it a creature? Oh, it's not a creature. That'd be, creature is everything, right? Or is that... Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a creature. It's,
and the melody is that I'm going to... Like, I'm feeling pretty kind of frantic and distraught over my worsening of Jorfin's situation. So, like, in that moment, I just, like, I want to say I get, like... I get hit with a weird inspiration. There's some like weird discordant melodies playing inside my head right now that come out. And I just, it's very gross and angry and guttural sounding. And I just like whisper it through the ether and it enters the Oni's head. And that's what I'm going to do. So he's got to do a wisdom saving throw. The DC's a 14. I don't know how wise Onis are, but.
What was the saving throw?
14. Oh, wisdom. Sorry. Wisdom saving throw.
Okay, and what was the number again? I missed it.
14.
14, okay. Yeah, he misses.
Oh, okay. So I'm doing 3d6 psychic damage, and I'll give you the damage first. So 6, 7, 8, 9. So 9 damage, psychic damage, and it must immediately use its reaction, if available, to move as far as its speed allows away from me. It doesn't move into obviously dangerous ground. And then, okay, then, but it's failed the save, so it doesn't do that. So it has to try and like actually move away from me, and it takes the 9 damage.
Okay. So it when you do this psychic damage, it even though these Oni are very like fierce beings and you know, they're all kind of taken aback by what's happening. You know, it's lumbering was very like to the point, like I'm going to murder somebody right now. And you notice this weird like switch. It's almost like when a small child gets caught for something that it's done that is terrible, that they've done, that they know that they're going to get in immediate trouble. And it says father, and it like starts to kind of like slink back the way it was going. So it like drops to a knee and slinks back, gets back up, slinks back knee and gets back, and just salters back and like complete horror in its face.
All right. My eyes gotta go well. Oh, didn't realize Oni's had fathers.
Both the dwarf and the elf get Jorfin a little bit closer to where you guys are going. Nothing is actually coming at you right now because there's just so much of a skirmish going on. And eventually you get to a point where Jorfin like pats both of the dwarf and the elf on the shoulders, and he tries to kind of right himself up, and he walks to a corner where he finds a certain book. He turns to both of you, and he goes to walk towards both of you, and he starts to stumble and kind of falls into Black Claws' arms.
I catch him.
Good. And then he hands you the book and he shows you the title and he puts his finger on the words. It like he's kind of like going from left to right. And then he goes to your lips, Black Claws, and goes, so basically he's telling you, you need to read this book.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I just say to him, would you want me to read it now? Should I speak the words aloud?
And he shakes his head. Yes.
So I gently, you know, lay him down, set him against the wall, you know, whatever, assuming someone else is going to look after him. And I stand and I, you know, open the book and start to, you know, in a commanding voice as much as he can.
Yeah.
Speak the words aloud.
Okay. Give me a second because I actually am going to send this to you so you can read it, but I'm also going to take the spoilers out of it because there's some things at the bottom that I don't want you to see. So I'm going to take that
can
out.
I don't want to stop it, but can I, like, because did I notice, did Soot notice that his stars blinked out when he used his power there?
Yes.
So that would be an indication that we're moving closer to the end, right? Is that how I would, am I understanding from the whole meeting?
It's one of those things where when you were talking about this whole thing, it was that all of the stars were going to blink out all at once, basically. But you didn't really know how exactly that was going to happen because there was books that kind of talked about different things. So it's one of those things where it's, you don't know exactly yet.
All right. I feel it's my duty to bring that to his attention. I grab Black Claw's arm as he picks up the book after this interaction. Like, oh, I do have to read it. I grab his arm and say, but Black Claws, your stars, two more have blinked out.
Maybe I'm already reading. I don't know. I don't know if it stops me. Like, I kind of look at you as I'm.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I'm very concerned. I'm very torn and concerned. Yeah. Yeah, if you're mid-read, then I say my piece and then I sort of back away just because I don't know what's happening.
You, me, neither.
So I guess just do it then. Okay, that's fine. Okay, I'm looking for exits.
Yeah, check, John. Check your email.
I got it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it opened. Okay. I'm going to take a minute just to go through it so I don't have to stumble through it.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. I think I probably just go. Okay. The dark almost won. In life, the light shines brightest at first, but then fades in the dark as quickly as the light comes. As well in life, we are fighting the presence of evil day and... Fuck me. I'm going to start over.
Oh. What a weird thing to put in the book.
Presence of evil every day. Okay, yeah. Like he casts a glance at Soot. Dark almost won. In life, the light shines brightest at first, but then fades in the dark as quickly as the light comes. As well in life, we are fighting the presence of evil every day in our lives. This is the story of how evil almost overcame the world. And his eyes kind of like flick and look up to see if anything is happening.
Just like out of the corner, like anything going on.
Yeah. The inky black water always calls, and then he kind of pauses for a minute and he like shudders a little bit. It calls to strong creatures, it calls to weak creatures, it calls to creatures with big egos, it calls to creatures with shy hearts. Ever dark, the water waits and feeds on the evil within every creature. And then he kind of like looks, oh, like, is that me? Shit. In the year 234 BL, there was a king with a black heart that convinced the land that his heart was made of pure gold with the true intention of helping the land prosper. Instead, he ruled with a cruel heart and destroyed resistance at every corner. Fiends took over and killed the innocent. Chaos ensued. But the power was not enough for the king. He sought true power, and within that, he began to lose his mind. He tortured and slain family members and friends that rose up against him, and yet the power was not yet enough. He heard the call from the deep. The dark, wet inkiness called to him. The great old one promised him control of not just his land, but lands outside of his reach and scope. Prepare the ritual, Cthulhu said to the king. He did as he was told. Open the gates, Cthulhu said. He opened his black heart to the great old one, and the gates opened. Find the key to bring me forward. Deep within the river of sadness, he dove, swam, and collected the key. Open the void. Let me in, Cthulhu said. But the king did not have the strength. For one true hero bested the king and turned the key against Cthulhu and closed the void forever. He spoke the words and shut the door. And he slaps the book closed and looks around very nervously.
Yeah, well, like, huh?
And you, something kind of arises in your being, and something in the back of your mind speaks the words again and tells you that you haven't quite seen everything, and it lures you into opening up the book again. And the book has five what seem to be blank pages on it, and it beckons you to put your hand on the first of the blank pages.
So he's looking around and he hears these whispers, and he, you know, kind of looks left and looks right, you know, kind of, you know, like as if he heard something. And then very sort of stiffly kind of like puts his hands kind of back out in front of him, and very sort of shakily, like not like you'd open a book and like flip the page, but like sort of stiffly, like flips and flips, you know, almost like someone is, you know, like he's a marionette almost. And he, you know, flips and looks at this blank page and sort of looks at Soot pleadingly as he is looking at Soot and placing his hand on the page.
You want me to stop you? I picked the blunderbuss up. Knuckle, I don't know what to do here. I don't. This is it. Is this it?
I don't know. I feel compelled to touch the page. I touched the page.
All right, nice. All right, so you touched the page, and just like you did when you let the tentacles out against the Oni, you get that weird ebb and flow of mist again, and a power shoots through your hand, and you get like tiny little tentacles that come through every part of your fingers and every part of your palm and shoot into the book and engulf into these pages, and fluorescent green light shines and alights these pages. And what you see is a picture of a sword that has two sides of its body, like two sides of a story, one called Starbringer, the other called Star Ender. You see a bunch of words that seem unintelligible. And then again, just like everything else that's happened with you, they start to kind of, it's like a puzzle that kind of flips, and all of a sudden you can read the words. You see a graphic that shows that the king from this story has stars on their chest, and the hero is using sword to slay the king to close the void. You see the two pictures of what the sword looks like, and give me one second.
John, are you texting me to tell me that you're going to shoot me with the blunderbuss?
No, I'm trying to type good notes. Desperately, okay. But yes, I'm.
My phone just jingled.
I'm trying. Well, I'm. I don't know what to do.
So the Starbringer, I'm going to describe it to the people at home, it looks like kind of a regular sword, except for the hilt has kind of like the cross part of the hilt that goes horizontal, has stars on each end, has five stars in the middle of it that shine green, and also tentacles that come around it as well. Then it, on the other page, is the Star Ender, and it shows that it's almost similar to the Starbringer, except for that the stars are all segmented like broken stars, and the blade of the sword on that side also looks very segmented, like broken stars or like broken glass.
And the Ender is a side that's fractured and cracked.
Correct.
I think he just yells out, where is the sword? Not and necessarily you hear expecting a response, but things are talking to me in my head. So, you know.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. And you hear a voice behind you at the top of the steps say, you must be looking for this. And you see, you turn around and you see two beings. You see King Shallot in his full armor. And you see, give me a second, pause for forgetting names.
Station identification.
Is it the goddamn fox? Is it the fox?
Not the fox.
I will kill the fox. I will kill the fox.
The other person standing next to him is Dyrus Kegel, the headmaster of the Wizard School. Yep, of Flitabay School of Wizardry, and King Shallot drops his sword into the concrete, and you see that it is Starbringer / Starender.
Do I see this too?
Oh yeah.
Is it King Shallot or is it the Pretender?
You don't know for sure. He does have two arms.
Is one of them made from? Is one of them is all yellow?
Yes, correct.
Shit. So does that mean it's wait? Hey, wasn't there a way to tell? Wait, I thought there was a fake one, right?
Well, that's what you guys think. You think that he is not
he's
the king.
No.
Whether that is to be true has yet to be seen.
Well, even if he is the true king, he's been corrupted.
That's true.
I mean, meta, right? Like, because the true king only had one arm, and this guy has one arm, and then the other arm, you know, from the elbow down is yellow, right? So, like, this is probably the king.
Yeah, it's the corrupt king. So he's got to die.
Yeah.
God. Okay.
King Shallot points to Black Claws and says, my ritual needs completion. Your blood will suffice. Okay, so I'm gonna pause before we have a reaction.
Okay.
So I'm gonna remind, because the fans that are listening to this don't know, but we haven't played in like over a month, maybe a month. So back when we had the book of, give me a second, hold for applause. Give me a second. Of course, I don't have my notes that I want on me.
Maybe I know. What are you looking for?
Hold on. Just because I want to get it right. If I didn't have it right, I had it written down at one time, but I might have put it somewhere else. Give me a second. Shoot, where is that? Talked about the ritual, and it also talked about the... Sorry. Give me a second.
Are you talking about when we were in that town and we helped that girl?
No, unfortunately, that's not what... it sucks because I'm not going to be able to explain it enough because I just need... Fuck, what was it? Sorry, I'm ruining it. Oh, I feel bad.
No, you're fine. I'm trying to intuit what you're looking for.
Yeah, because it talked about how a structure came and how the ritual began. And I know I told you guys about it, but now I'm like, where is it in my notes? Because I can't find it. Of course, I got 80 notes and nothing that's helping me.
So is it the book that Soot found when we saved that girl? Said Soot finds a book and a saying.
I'm looking.
This was session 11, 12.
I thought it was one of the books that Jorfin was actually talking about, but now I'm not. None of these are telling me what I want to know.
The story of the Dismal Sea. Oh, that's the book that we just got.
No, not the Dismal Sea. What was that one?
The Stars at the End of Sanity?
Yeah, I think that's it. I must have elaborated.
Apparently, Blacklaw's deeds are eerily similar to the events in the book. It also talks about the sacrifice of an innocent.
Okay, yeah. So basically, yeah, it is the Stars at the End of Sanity. Unfortunately, I didn't write... I must have just kind of went off the top of my head because I knew what I was going to say and I didn't write it down.
Jorfin said Black Claws opened a portal and Soot started the waves through the portal.
Yep.
Good.
So
I mean,
okay. Great. So I'll just kind of cliff notes this for you, and I'm going to cut it all out. But basically what the Stars at the Edge of Sanity said is it talks about where the stars align and the Great One will liberate the worthy and raise them to a new level of understanding. Excuse me. And it talks about how in the coming out of the sea is a tower where the ritual was performed, and that tower or that it was almost like it rose out of the water, and then the ritual was performed to allow the Great One in, basically. And if I remember correctly, talked about that the only way that they have found in history where the portal has been closed is by sacrificing the one who opened it. So it kind of corroborates with the story of this old king who opened up the portal and was also sacrificed with a ritual to close this door. So basically what it's saying is because you can take it as you will, but you know, you can take it as sorry, I'm skirting around it. Basically, Black Claws opened this portal, and that's the position you're in.
Hmm. Unknowingly, I might add.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, his death is required to close it.
Yeah, his death according to and in congruence with the ritual.
So okay, but I mean, I'm assuming in character, we don't get the sense that he wants to kill me to close the portal because he's trying to help people.
Yeah.
Right. Everything that he's done has been not to help anything.
Yeah. Yeah. But you also have a sense that I want you both to roll me I don't know if it'd be insight or intelligence to
how about kind deception? I'm pretty good at that.
Yeah, to kind of get the understanding of what he why he may be referencing taking you out.
Who's that? Shallot?
Yeah.
I mean, player.
Wisdom insight check decides whether you can determine the true intentions of a creature.
Yeah. I'm sorry. What were you saying, John?
I was going to say, I think he wants to kill me to keep things jazzed for the King in Yellow.
Yeah.
Right. Like if he closes the portal, then Cthulhu's off the table and the King in Yellow can do what he wants.
God damn it.
Right. I mean, if that's what you want me to roll, I think I get it already.
Yeah.
That sounds okay. Familiar. Well, then
don't roll it. You've got it.
I think we've talked about this extensively, actually. that was what was at stake here. Shit. There's no good answer. There's no good option.
So, but I think, right. So, like, we still need to kill him, probably.
Yes.
Right. Like,
he wants to kill you.
To get me out of the way. But I think we need to kill him first and then deal with the other issue.
Yeah. The other issue that you have to die.
Well, so maybe this is a check then. What will Cthulhu come through without any further help from anybody?
Yeah, roll that check.
Or does it require something else for him to manifest or to awake? I guess he's already here, I guess, right? Like mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whether he's physically here or like dimensionally adjacent in the equivalent of our ocean or whatever. So do we need to make a check on that then?
Yes.
Okay. Would that be that religion?
Religion or, yeah, probably religion, because history wouldn't really help unless that's something you study. But that could be in your wheelhouse as well, because you've studied that at the school.
It's a plus zero either way for me.
Oh, okay.
Just an 8%.
Yeah. I got a 3, so I'm not even going to use the bardic inspiration. It's not even worth it.
Yeah, 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 for sure. Actually, you know what? Roll with advantage. I think you could roll with advantage.
All right. Ooh, that's a 14. Do I need the bardic inspiration?
I would bardic inspiration it for
ooh,
sure.
Ooh, yes.
Plus 5, 19, baby.
Ooh. Nice, ooh. Nice. So in the last dream sequence that you had, he basically told you that you needed to help him cross that threshold, basically. And some of the things that we also been kind of talking about is the stars are always a thing. The stars have to align. The stars have power. So you get it into your in your brain that if Cthulhu is going to cross over to this threshold, you're going to have to perform a certain ritual to bring those stars in line. So that is up to you. If that's how, what you want, if you want to do that, you can try to do that yourself. Or if you want to go a different way, you can.
Okay. So this is all knowledge that we have as a background to the thing that's happening in the moment.
Yes, correct.
Okay. And so my question was, but before you stop for the reaction, did he jam the sword in and he's standing there, or he's like, you know, sort of he placed
just,
it on the ground?
He literally just dropped it and it sunk into the concrete a little bit.
Like sunk. Okay.
Well, we just need King Arthur now, right?
Well, and how far away is he from us?
Probably about 10 feet. Well, actually, no. Let's say like 15. It's a little further. And remember, there's still Oni around. There's still a bunch of other people around fighting, too.
Okay. All right. Okay. I know what I'm doing. So, John, do you have anything else you need to...
I mean, I think I know what I'm doing. But I before I do it, I want to make sure that... Like, you want the sword, right? You need the sword.
Yeah. I mean, meta, yes.
So if you need the sword, then why wouldn't he... Doesn't he need the sword, too?
I mean, he didn't give it up, right? I mean, it's right in front of him. It's not like
he's sword in the stoned it though.
So I my take on that is that the sword is so powerful that
it just sinks into anything it touches.
Well, right, like it's not embedded into the stone that no one can take it out. Like it just
right. Is there anyone in between us and them? They're at the top of the stairs, right?
There's like the only people that are around you basically right now is the elf, the dwarf, Jorfinn, and you two.
So I know what I want to do. Can we talk about it or should I just do it?
I don't want to meta it
I don't want to make this decision if like the current goal right now, and I wasn't there when like you were reading it, but like I'm trying to read the situation. Like, okay, this sword, like this isn't this, is this what you need? And he drops it. I'm like, okay, well, I guess Blackclaw needs this. So I'm just going to put everybody except you asleep with my song of immediate slumber.
Should we roll off for initiative? Cause we're both 17.
Yeah, I would. Sure. But it's my immediate gut feeling is to blast off my big power.
Are we doing straight roll or with initiative?
I don't know. What do you think? Do we do it with initiative or straight roll? Should we ask Kurt, will you make a ruling? Should we do it? We're doing a roll off to see who gets to do the crazy thing first.
I say let the dice decide it.
I like it. Okay. You want to add the initiative bonus? What's your initiative bonus? Does it even matter?
3.
Mine's a 4. Okay.
My total 17 with the initiative bonus.
With initiative, mine's a 20. 16 okay. Plus 4, 20.
All right. So I don't know how you want to edit all this, but then he says the thing. I'll just hold say before second. That happens.
Hold on a second.
Yes, hold on. We have some.
These two haven't rolled for initiative yet, so you are actually not going first.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. We're talking like it's like we're we're gonna just do our thing here.
Two more combatants have entered and I rolled really high with them.
Okay, well, but still I say to Soot, thinking like we're gonna have a moment of being able to like do a thing, right? Like he makes a pronouncement and you know,
yeah, I'm taking my loot out and I've got my pick of usefulness and I'm like ready to.
And I use my awaken the telepathy thing, and I say, "Do you trust me?"
Oh, you bastard! Oh, okay. So there's a sec. So I'll turn to you slowly, and like I'll get like a shitty grin on my face, and I'll just say, "No," but I say that with a shitty grin. But then that would stop me from doing anything before you actually.
Well, then we don't do anything anyway because it's not our turn.
Yeah, right. But that I think that's a fun, I think that's a fun little moment where like you know do you like right as I'm about to do my thing, do you trust? And it's like, of course not. But I will. But I. But that means yes, I do in such stupid way.
All right. So.
So go ahead and just kill us with your two big bads.
So King Shalott goes like he's going to go and grab his sword, and Dyrus. Is it Dyrus? Did I say that? God,
I think so. I think that's what he said.
Yeah, Dyrus. Yep. Puts his hand on the king and says, "Now you know you don't mind if I go first, do you now?"
Fuckers.
And the king looks to Dyrus and says, "Of course, Uncle."
Aww.
And Dyrus, you know, he's tall, lengthy, kind of gaunt. Human, and he goes to grab at where his scalp is and pulls off what looks to be like fake skin, basically, and kind of goes to pull off of like where he's got his cheek and pulls that off. He also goes to pull at his other cheek and pulls that off, and all you see is melted skin from the top of the head to the bottom. Oof. You see almost sickly yellow eyes, and he peels off his garb. And what once was a powerful man is now a former shell of himself. And even as you can kind of, even though you've never seen this person, you've heard about him in stories. And you've seen him in pictures, and this person looks to be the pathetic version of Eric the Guileful himself.
Who?
Mr. Beguiler.
Mr. Dr. Beguiler?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. Yes. Esquire. And he pulls a rod from his belt, and he kind of shakes it out. Like you would a umbrella, and this almost like this scepter comes from it, and he incantates some certain words, and his eyes roll back into his head, and as his eyes roll back into his head, his the whites of his eyes turn milky, almost a sour yellow, and you can hear you can hear voices just like you would hear through Cthulhu, and you hear these whispers, and he points to both your direction, and a sickening yellow spray comes at you.
Ugh.
Actually, I'm going to have you guys roll a dexterity saving throw with the DL being a 15.
I have advantage because of my cloak.
It's the 7.
Nat 20. Baby.
Oh, okay.
I catch it.
So here we go.
And I throw it back at him.
Yeah, you're duking it right back at him.
Now, well, hold on a second. Because you rolled yourself a D20, you can keep that benefit. We'll still say it's a miss, but you can keep it as a benefit. But if you want to do something amazing with it right now, you can as well.
Is there a way to deflect it back? Like, is the cloak imbued with, because it's a mantle of spell resistance, is there a way to sort of redirect that back?
Well, this is your time. So if that's how you want to do it, I have a way that you could do it.
I think so.
Okay. So
right now, it makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. So instead of it glomming onto you, you still kind of have this misty greenness about you, and it's almost like you use the momentum, like you're using it and throwing it back, almost like you would see like when you see the movies of like the Drunken Master, where he uses his body to just kind of float, you know, avoid and then strike. Yes.
Oh, he's raising his
hand. So that for sure, right? But because the mist is there, like he does his thing and he casts the spell, and as this, you know, sickly yellow energy comes towards us, he kind of like turns so that the, you know, like the shoulder of the cloak is exposed, but what comes out from like up underneath from him is a tentacle that just sort of comes out and hits it and, you know, sort of deflate, you know, becomes solid and deflects it back the other way.
Ooh. Yeah, that's perfect. I love that. So, give me 1 second. It's not bad at all. So, Soot, simultaneously, Soot and Eric B. Geiler are hit with this acidy liquidness that hits and like hits kind of like your left shoulder and just kind of seeps and kind of burns into you. Fortunately for you, not as much as it got on you as maybe he thought it was going to get on you. So you only take 3 points of damage, points of acid damage.
Owie. Ouchies.
He's a xenomorph.
Damn it.
And he takes it kind of full on the chest and he like, it just kind of like, actually, I got to roll him damage. Okay. Nice. Wait 1 second. It kind of shoots and it actually like hits his like thigh and he just like and like just kind of like shudders a little bit, you know, and he looks at it and he goes, oh, that quite hurt. And you can tell that his voice has changed now. The southern KFC draw is kind of left him. And King Shalott kind of laughs. He's oh yeah, uncle, you always picked on me for being weak when I feel that you're the weak one. And he grabs the sword from the ground, takes it, pulls it easily out of the ground like a knife through butter, and charges towards Black Claws. And he's going to slash against wide against your chest. I'm guessing a 7 doesn't hit.
It does not. Did he roll a 1?
No, he did not. But
okay.
his attack was, I rolled a 5 plus 2, which is not going to be enough. Hmm. So yeah, so he, you know, he goes to slash and he kind of mismeasures how he's going to get at you. And his sword comes flying down and takes part of the ground with it as it floats chunks towards the dwarf and the half elf. Black Claws, you were up.
Okay, so this changes everything that I had planned already.
Oh, hold up. No, it isn't. I'm sorry. No, it isn't. Because you guys had a roll off and Sut won, right?
Yes.
Did you? Yeah, go ahead.
But
yeah,
when you did the fun little do you trust me thing, I held my act. I was going to, mechanically, it would be you're like a hold held action. Yeah.
Okay. So I've all got, right. All right.
Yeah.
Then, all right. Black Claws, you're up then.
If I need to declare it before I can tell you what I'm going to do. Because it's sort of altered now, but yeah.
Yeah, no, my thing is different now too. I think he's just gonna drop, right? Because we're in an eldritch, you know, fucking power off here, I guess, yes, right?
Yeah.
So as he comes in next to me, well, see, but it's not that great though. I don't know that I want to do that. No, I don't think I want to do that.
It's an eldritch off.
Yeah, no, I was gonna do the tentacles of the great old one, but it's only 3d6 or 4d6 if I cast it at second level.
Roll me another. Let's see. Boy, I don't want everything to be perception. I hate that.
I mean, I think the listeners love it.
Yeah,
I mean, for sure. If you're D&D, then you love perception checks.
You do, and we do it a lot.
That's why it's there. It's, you know, it's a. It's the skill, you know.
What is perception? Is that wisdom all the time? Is that
it's a wisdom based skill? Yeah,
it's a wisdom based. Yeah, so it would be a perception check.
Okay.
Roll me a perception check with advantage.
Ooh, all right. That is going to be, what's my perception? It's going to be 13 total.
Okay, so you hear the words again. There's lots of whispering. This time, it actually sounds like. It's pinpointed, like one voice is speaking to you. You don't recognize the voice. You don't understand who's speaking to you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, but you also don't realize that you still have that book in your hand, and you feel like a character out of that book is speaking to you. And the character is saying, speak the ritual and then you can complete it. And what you have in your mind's eye is kind of what happened back when you had your accident. You kind of think you kind of get into your mind's eye when the tower rose out of the water. And it's one of the, you have a thing back in your head thinking that kind of thinks that if you were to do that, maybe that would be some kind of distraction. But again, I will let you kind of decide how you want to do that.
But my understanding is if I speak the ritual that will open the gate to bring Cthulhu through, is that what it's, that's what it's whispering? Okay. Yeah, yes. I'm not going to do that. I think so. So let me ask you a question. The demon dagger does plus six. Is it a plus six? Oh, it's a plus six to hit. Okay. And then a D20 for damage. No, but it's not. But the damage isn't D20. Like, it's an effect, right? The D20?
No, I think the D20 was damage.
And then something was super great or super bad on a 1 or a 20.
Yes.
We're in the end game now.
Fuck. You know what? No. I'm just going to go with what my initial reaction was. So he comes in and he slashes at me. And I guess I just kind of like take a step back and sort of bat at him. Right? Because I watch a cat bat the shit out of a fucking rattlesnake, smack it in the head. So he comes at me and I just sort of like bat at the flat of the sword. And I just bring my hands up from the ground. And this mist is still sort of around me. And it solidifies, like it. So I bring my hands up, but the mist drops and then comes back up out of the ground with this green and black and purple tentacles that just start to beat the shit out of him as he stands next to me.
Nice.
And that's going to be 4d6.
46?
No, it's not. Well, there's a 6 in there. So it's 10. It's going to be 13 damage. Okay. He needs to roll a strength save. And the spell DC is only 14.
That's a 20. Not a natural, but a 20.
Okay, so he takes half damage. So that was 10, 13. Are we rounding down or rounding up?
We'll round up.
So 7 damage. And he has no... I think save is just half damage. Let me double check. He may not have any reactions. And any... Ooh, is anybody else within 10 feet of me?
Yeah.
I'm probably am.
Are you talking about foes?
Well, it says each creature. So maybe yes. I wouldn't have done that if Sit was next to me.
Oh, no. A batter me. This is great. Oh, yeah. You have to say, yeah, you have to do it.
No. No, I would... Because I would know that that would happen. I mean, I wouldn't do it because that's stupid. This is what happens. You don't play with map and minis. Okay. So what's our tactical situation? Who's next to me? I thought he was the only one next to me.
Yeah. As of right now, well, Jorfinn is actually next to you as well. Soot is to the left of you. Jorfinn is behind you with the elf and the, well, no, Jorfinn would be in front of you with the elf and the, and the dwarf, because he fell into you, gave you the book.
Okay.
So he's so kind of in front of you.
I'm going to do the other thing that I was thinking then. So just add all that.
Awesome.
So he comes at me, he takes a big swat. I bap at him with my claws, you know, my hand.
Yeah.
And then I just jump on him. Both claws. I jump on his back.
Nice. Okay. So you're going to have to probably roll a strength check on that then.
I mean, I'm not trying to take him down, and claws or dex. It's either or. It's a finesse.
But you're also kind of like climbing onto him and holding onto him. So isn't that strength or is that dexterity?
So if he was going to try to shake me, it's probably either strength versus strength or strength versus dex.
Yeah.
I mean, I could just slash him with my claws then.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it just feels like it's strength. Yeah.
All right, I'm just going to slash him then. Fuck all that.
Okay.
13 plus 5, 18 with the claws.
Okay. All right, now I have to redo all my math because I had the 4. Yeah. Okay. All right, where are you slashing at him? He's got plate armor on, but there are weaknesses.
At his face.
Okay. All right.
Face, neck.
So yeah,
you know, head.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. It'd either be neck or face because he's got a helm on, but you can still see his face and his neck. So yeah, you go to slash at his face and he kind of like holds his hand to his face or whatever. And he says, petulant kitty, you'll pay for that.
Oh. It was 4 damage.
But it stinks.
It was what?
4 damage for the claws.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
I think I just said, you'll have to catch me first.
So I would like you to roll me a D20. Just I'll straight up roll.
I got a 15.
Ooh, very nice. You have a small voice in the back of your head, and it feels very wrong, and it tells you to grab the demon dagger.
God damn it. I don't want to grab the demon dagger.
You don't, but you don't want to, so you don't have to. It calls to you, but not in a overtaking way.
Isn't it? It's on. So, I mean, it's on Black Claws, though, right? He has it. Doesn't
yes.
He?
Yep.
All right. So, okay. I'll say, fuck you. fuck you.
But I thought we had a thing.
And do I recognize the voice?
It sounds like the demon that
fuck you.
Yeah. It sounds like the demon that had tortured you before that.
Yeah.
Even though it had died, it told you it would see you soon.
Yeah. So I say, fuck you. But I also don't like, yeah, I kind of want to grab the dagger, but for now I'm saying, fuck you. As long as you're not forcing me to try and like, I love this kind of shit. So I'll roll to try and avoid it, but I'll keep it in mind. Like I should probably grab the dagger, but fuck you for now. Fuck you right now until you force me to start rolling to stop. You know what I mean? But the thing that I'm gonna blast off my fear spell, my once a day fear spell on Shallot so that he drops the sword, because he drops whatever he's got to do a wisdom. This probably isn't gonna work, but a wisdom saving throw, right? And if he fails the wisdom saving throw, he's going to drop his sword and he's going to be frightened for a minute and he has to like try to run away. So I want him to drop the sword so that Black Claws can pick it up. So I say, phew, and then I do the fear spell. I blast it off so that I want him to be afraid.
Okay.
Oh, you project a phantasmal image of a creature's worst fear. So like in my mind, because of this whole scenario, if he fails and this works, it's going to be like Cthulhu is going to rise up in front of him. And that's going to scare the shit out.
Oh, nice.
Nice. Very nice. So
it's a 14. The DC is a 14.
You also hear a voice in your head.
God damn it.
What would it say? It speaks to you in a coded message. And it says, let the star align. Are you going to ignore that message?
So I think, and you tell me if I'm wrong, I don't think Soot knows what the hell that even means. I don't think Soot would even know how to allow it to happen.
Roll a perception check for me.
Thank you. Yes. Mostly because, I rolled the 1.
Jesus. Yeah, you have no clue what that means.
Like, let the star line. I just, fuck you. Is it a different voice?
It isn't a different voice, correct?
Oh, God damn it. Now you're putting two voices. So it's just starting to sweat. There's some sweat happening. Now I'm like, okay, I got to grab the dagger and I got to let the stars align. But no, fear. Fear to Shallot.
Yeah.
Fear. I do the fear spell to Shallot.
Yep. And you cast a spell. And as the king kind of looks like he's going to pick up his sword and raise it back up towards Black Claws, his head shoots quickly and straightforward towards your face, and his eyes opened wide.
Nice. Take that.
And he like slowly backs up and he's that can't be right. You're not The true king is here. The true king is not you. No. And he starts kind of backing up and he drops the sword and it clangs to the ground and he just kind of like backs up. No, no, no.
Very nice.
Get Blacklaw! Get the fucking sword! I got it.
But before that...
Yeah, get the sword before I get the dagger and then align the stars, okay?
You hear a rumble that feels like when horses' hooves hit the ground and shake the earth and also shake things around. And it becomes louder and louder and louder. And an explosion of the side of the building explodes. Ugh. And two identical... Oh, fuck. I had it. I lost it. Oh, is and the two Krakens? Identical Leviathan...
Oh, boy.
...burst through the wall. And Blacklaws, you recognize them as the two children, the two Leviathan from before, but they are three times the size of what they were. And they look down at everyone, and they turn of events unlike what you would be thinking. They turn to Eric the Beguiler, Eric the Guileful, Dr. Beguiler, and you can hear them speak. But the only person, the only creature, the only being in here that can understand what they're saying from context clues is Black Claws, King Shalott, and Eric the Guileful. And they talk to Eric and they say, You betrayed us. You told us our mom was okay, but you lied. You used her. And now you will pay the price. And you see these Leviathans floating in the air, going, even though they're yellow in color and what you know as Leviathans living in water, they are flying through the air like creatures of the wind. And they proceed to tear Eric the Beguiler, Eric the Guileful, Dyrus Cagle apart. And it is sickening. It sounds like somebody gnawing through a steak. It sounds like someone ripping a bunch of pages through a book. It sounds like a bunch of haunting screams as Eric is torn to complete shreds.
Sand check?
You all are insane. And after the carnage is over, they turn to Black Claws and both give a simple nod and then retreat through the hole once they came.
I'm awestruck.
Yeah, I think like the second they come through the wall, so it's like, oh no, no, no. And then they start, it's just, I'm trying to hide my eyes from this whole thing.
Yeah, they're like, it, you know, if you're, let's just say for the people that are listening, like there are other like people watching this and some people are like crying. There are other people that are throwing up. There are other people that are like, some people that actually ran out of the building because they're so scared of what was conspiring. Give me one second. Oh, one of the Onis actually goes to grab, it sees that Black Claws is eyeing the sword, and one of the Onis tries to grab at your ankle and falls to the ground, coughing up blood. Black Claws, the sword is in front of you. What do you do?
I kind of shake myself out of all of this that's happening and, you know, bend over, pick up the sword and just grab it. So is Shalott still visible?
Yeah, he's backing away from you. He's probably about, I would say, like probably 10 feet away from you now.
I think he couch it here and just run at him, like run him through. So because D&D is dumb, I can only use simple weapons. So I don't know what that means, because a sword would be a martial weapon. So I'm not trying to swing it. I'm just kind of holding it and, you know, running them through, because I mean, anybody could pick up a sword and swing it. It's stupid, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So to play into that, also to break the rule, one of your other stars blinks out.
Oh, no.
You get kind of this energy within you, and you pick up the sword, and it creates this mist around the sword, and you plunge it, and you go to plunge it into him, and you see the two sides of the sword, and something calls to you, and you angle it to the Starbreaker side, and you plunge it deep into his heart. I would like you to roll me a D100, please.
All right. And I think when I look down, because like I start to run this way, and then as like, you know, the star winks out, and I'm infused with this energy, my, you know, my arm starts to come up and, you know, kind of running at him like with a, you know, kind of on the shoulder, like baseball bat swing style. But as he looks down, like around his hand and onto the hilt is like tentacles.
Nice.
Nice.
52.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, so you plunge it deep within his heart. He goes to cough like he's going to cough up blood.
Not on the fur.
An inky yellow comes out of him. And you hear a gauntlet fall to the ground as his yellow arm disappears. And he falls to his knees. And you hear in the slightest of small voices, "How can this be?" And he falls to the ground dead.
I think that like I let the sword go because it's embedded in him, and just, you know, camera pans and it's just him sort of taking a few awkward, not awkward steps back, but like hesitant steps back as he looks down at the body of what was the king corrupted by the influence of the king in yellow.
You hear a booming voice in the back of your head. It almost shakes your head with enough intensity where you feel that you could either A, lose your mind, or your brain could synapse and you could fall dead at any time. And it says, "Now is the time."
I just continue to back up and look sort of panicked around the room. And I rip my shirt open to see that all of my stars have gone out.
Mm-hmm.
I think he just starts to mutter, you know, like just to like out loud, but not really to anybody. "No, no, 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 no." And, you know, he's just sort of backing up from the body and just kind of not taking anything in. He's kind of like looking down and yeah.
You hear another voice in the back of your head, even the same voice, even louder and even more in pain, and says, "This is an inevitability. Let me through."
I think he falls to the ground and he just, you know, is holding his head as this is happening, I guess, inside my head. Maybe he says outside, in his outside voice, he wants to come through. He wants to come through. Like he's just yelling stuff as stuff is happening, right? He's not really talking to anybody, but also, you know, some part of his brain is trying to communicate what's happening, even if he's not conscious of what's happening.
Mm-hmm. So what's going through your head right now?
Pretty fucking freaked out at this point. At what I just witnessed with the Leviathan. I knew the Leviathans were bad news. I knew it from the beginning, from the second we were riding in its mouth. I said, "This isn't good. This isn't great. I haven't liked any of this. I have liked none of it. None of anything that's happening is good." I think if the problem I'm having right now is that I see what Black Claws is doing, and now I'm conflicted. I think Soot probably crawls over to Black Claw, and I put my hand on him. I'm like, what is happening? What are you saying? What?
I think when you come up and put a hand on me, I, you know, jerk away from you, just reactively, instinctively, just sort of pull away. And then you say that, yeah.
So what is happening? What do you need?
He's in my head. He wants to come through. The time is right. I don't wish this upon the world.
Okay. So I think in this crazed state, if I could get a little cinematic with it, I feel like in the instant where you start to pull away, I look down and see that I've taken the dagger from you, and I'm holding the demon dagger in my hand.
Mm-hmm. Above my head, poised.
I think I have it in my hand, and I'm listening to what you're saying, and I'm getting pretty scared because now you're saying you don't want this for the world.
Like, the whole time I'm yammering, right? So he says it's a mistake. It was a mistake. I didn't know. It's not supposed to be this way.
So is all the star, and I can see all the stars are out on you. What in this weird moment where I'm like shaking and like confused, what do my stars look like? Do I still have any lit up?
You have two that are lit up. You never used them.
I never used them.
Yep. And as you look at Black Claws, you could at one point, but your rolls and your attitude are terrible. So no.
I mean, yes. Yeah. My
rolls and my attitude are terrible. I'm just messing with you. So you look at your two stars alight, but you know that you have other stars that are there, but they haven't come to fruition. Then you look at Black Claws again, thinking, those are out. You know, what does that mean? And then one of the stars comes back to life.
But at one point, there was an understanding that when all the stars were out, that was the moment, right? Like when everyone's...
No, when the stars are lit and they become aligned, that is when. So Black Claws, so you hear a very loud... Hold on, I'm going to try again. Black Claws, you hear a very loud voice in your head that says, I will not be denied.
Yeah, and he's just sort of, moaning and...
All right. I then bring the... So I'm holding the demon dagger. Do I have to roll something when I pick that up? Was that a part of the dagger thing?
Yes. Roll a d20.
I don't want to do this. Well, that's a 9.
Okay. Nothing happens.
So I think Black Claws... I think Soot just starts, like, crying. Because this sucks, and I'm so sorry, and I bring it down and I plunge it into Black Claw.
Okay, roll me one more d20.
This turned into a shit show.
You have advantage because I'm not. Oh no, this is for the damage.
I don't know if I have. Wait, what am I rolling? I'm rolling a d20.
Just roll a d20.
I think I'm shaking too much to have advantage and to roll a d20. That's a 10, right? Smack dab in the middle.
Okay. You plunged the demon dagger deep within Black Claws' heart.
Damn it. Hurt.
You watch as the star on his chest winks out. You see the ebbs and flows of the green mist as they ebb and flow like a lonely ocean back and forth. And back and forth, and they start to dim back and forth, and it gets smaller and smaller, and the color of Black Claws drains. He goes from this black fur to this gray paleness. John, I'm going to give you a moment to, if you want to say anything before the end.
So he stabs me, and I'm kind of over, so he stabs me in the back, and I just kind of fall over on my side and onto my back, and my eyes clear for a minute as I see Soot standing over me. And I say, I reach a juttering hand out and kind of bring it down the side of his face and along his shoulder and his chest. And I say, what would be something really cool?
That's what's going to happen when I die. I'm going to be like, what's something really cool I can say before I die? And then I just die. No, go
ahead. That's a good epitaph, actually. Something really cool.
Yeah. he just looks you in the eye and he says, I never wanted this. And then his hand kind of, flops down from your shoulder and on the floor. Boom.
So after that, Soot just drops all pretense of a persona, and I'm just like the formless shape, just like the formless changeling, the pale soot-colored, and just like tears, and I just collapse on top of him. Just collapse.
So we're going to fade to black. Fast forward, let's say a month. The setting is the Flitabay School of Warlock, and people are cleaning up. They're putting things back where they belong. There's, with all of the things that have happened in the past, there's a lot of like cleanup and rebirth and things that are happening. You see a being kind of not stumbling, but limping. And he's kind of pointing at certain things. He's like, yep, make sure that that goes over there. We want to make sure that we get this cleaned up because we're going to make it new or make it vibrant. And you see a weathered and kind of beaten, but not broken, Jorfin pointing around saying, okay, we're going to make this school even better than it was before. We're going to make sure that everyone is able to study whatever they want, however they want, in a safe way. And he's got a red colored ascot. Like ascot kind of hanging down. And, you know, it's kind of cold and he kind of coughs a little bit and he points. He says, yes, make sure that all the books are put back where they belong. Even the banned ones. We're not going to ban any more books anymore. Make sure you clean that up real good. And he's kind of pointing to the tower where Black Claws had his moment. Soot, where are you at right now?
Broken. So, because this was like not even on my radar screen as a possibility, I just off the top of my head, I've just given up. I'm not doing anything. I haven't played. There's no music. I think Soot is quite literally just waiting to die at this point. So I'm probably at the docks because I liked, you know, I try to beg for, what the hell was it called? What was the thing? The fish?
Salt bass?
No, sea bass. Salt bass.
Salt bass. Sea bass. Yeah, I'm just like, so like I'm a chain. I don't bother with personas anymore. So I'm just like a street rat changeling. And I, every once in a while, I'll get, someone will throw me a salt bass and that's what I eat. And then I just kind of curl up, on the side of the road or like in an alley. That's what Soot does in whatever, in the aftermath of this. Like whenever I got the strength, I would have just disappeared after doing that. And then just ended up in the dock area looking for salt bass. Whenever I get taken pity upon enough by a fisherman.
Okay. Well, let's say that one of the fishermen says, you know, these are getting extinct, but you know what? You look like you're down on your luck, and I've got one hit right here for you.
Thank you.
And you are just sitting on the end of one of the docks, and you're kind of eating your fish. It's got a little cool chill out, but it's a little sunny. And you're kind of eating your salt bass or whatever. And, you know, you're used to the sun, so it's just kind of blaring on you. And you kind of go like this a little bit, you know, and then you go back to eating. And as you're eating, all of a sudden a shadow kind of cast upon you. And you hear the pitter-patter of pawed feet. What does Black Claw say?
He puts a hand on your shoulder and says, I've been looking for you.
Perfect.
What the fuck?
What the fuck? I love it.
God damn it. I wasn't prepared in any way whatsoever for it to go that way. That was
Come on.
Even when you had the voice in my head saying get the demon dagger, I was like, no, I'm not gonna get the new fucking demon dagger.
Love it.
That was a great ending.
I liked it.
Yeah, so the way I figure it is that everybody kind of left me there, But then, you know, I come back with the one HP and then just spend like, you know, that month or 2 months or whatever in the library, like recuperating and reading all these old tomes and, you know, blah, 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 whatever. And yeah. Presumably not a warlock anymore, because my patron would probably hate me and yeah. allow me to yeah. use those powers. So, yeah.
Well, technically, it wasn't your fault you died.
True, but I was resisting.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah. So my only thing is when you know, when John and I was like, oh, we're going to do this, so you trust me, or we're going to do thing, you're like, oh, there's other people. And then, like, they're having a whole conversation. He's peeling his face like, no. We totally would have did a thing. Like, nobody's waiting for that.
Right? Like, yeah. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, if I wouldn't have rolled an initiative high for them, you would have been able to do whatever you want. But I was like, well, they're obviously in here now. So I would have, normally what's supposed to happen is it's supposed to be, because we had a little cutscene, you guys should have rolled for another initiative. But I was like, yeah. I'm not going to do that. I'll just have, you guys had a great initiative, whatever. And then I rolled and I got an 18 and a 19 for both of them. So I was like, shit. Okay, well. That kind of fucks things up, but that's how it is. That was
good. Yeah, I mean, it shifted things for sure.
So my thought was, when he put his sword down, right, and waited for me to respond, and I said, do you trust me? I was going to throw the book at his face and then rush him to grab the sword.
Nice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, even though they had first initiative, it's 6 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a long, drawn-out conversation and, like, peeling your face off and like doing a whole like
yeah.
Which is funny because my whole approach was going to be to put everyone to sleep so that you could go get the sword.
Yeah.
Yep. And it would have worked if it was for those damn dice.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. I got my yellow one, so obviously they're going to roll good against you guys.
No, it was good. I mean, the opportunities for it presented itself with the fear spell too, you know? So like, it was mm-hmm. just, yeah, I was yeah. looking for any yeah. opportunity to get to help you get that sword in your hand.
Yeah. 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 Well, and it was the king too. So I guess that makes sense. It checks out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like that. The melting, the gauntlet comes off. Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good. I mean, it's a minor complaint on my part about that, but like, it's the system.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, you know, whatever.
Yeah. It happens.
I did not like having to make that decision to stab you. I don't like that.
And that's why it's good, because you're going against the grain.
Yeah. I don't know what else
there was to do, right? Like that's the, like, I wasn't going to do it.
Yeah. I think that was a recurring thought throughout the entire, every time something came up about you and the stars, and then like I was dead, also had stars. It was like, this sucks. Like, no, we're barreling towards terribleness regardless of who wins. So like there was this, like this overarching, like, yeah, so one of us is dying, you know, like, you know, like, because we can't, and I, you know, wasn't smart enough to understand the reality of it, that like, yeah, it was gonna actually have to be you.
so
that took me John by surprise, because I really wasn't thinking along those lines.
Well, me neither. I mean, until we got to that point, I had no idea.
Yeah
I mean, I always talked about
sacrifice, so
yeah,
something had to be sacrificed.
Like, I couldn't hear anything that was going on inside your head, but when you were what you were muttering is what kind of like changed it for me, John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my understanding of it is that I would have to be sacrificed, you know, like do the ritual and be sacrificed to open the gate, which is what I didn't want to do. So I was refusing to say the words.
Mm. But you also could have used the Star Ender on the right, on that side, to kill yourself and slam the door shut. But that's something you didn't get because you didn't roll right.
Yeah. So I didn't know what to do. Like, you killing me was probably the best outcome. Well, killing was probably the best outcome.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know what to do.
Yeah. There was one point. Well, when when it dawned on me, I was a little slow to it. But when it dawned on me that that was what we were barreling towards, I got upset. Like me, because I've never done that before. I've never killed a companion character in any game ever. I don't think. Well, I mean, you could make an argument that I did it to Chip. Actually, this feels similar to that. I don't like it. But yeah, no, that was very good, Kurt. Well crafted, well structured.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I was only nervous about this the whole time.
These motherfuckers better get to this point that I need them to be at and do the thing I want them to do.
I didn't realize it has nothing to do with you guys.
Yeah, no, I didn't realize we were that close to the end. That it was that, like, tonight was the night. I had no idea coming in tonight that was, like, I figured, oh, we got to get the book, we'll fight the Onis, and then we'll have to go back and, like, do a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could have done that, but I was like, it's just stretching out the inevitable, so why do it, you know?
I started getting nervous when they showed up at the top of the stairs. I was like, uh-oh, like, this is it. I was like,
yeah, this is now actually the end.
Yeah, this is now actually something's happening here. And then when it dawned on me that this is what has to happen, I didn't like it. I mean, in a good way. I didn't like it in a good way.
Yeah. You played your character well to that point.
I'll never play a bard again, though. I'll say that. That's what I've learned. I learned that about the.
Wait a minute. You were playing a bard this time?
Yeah, I know. No. Not correct. Not as correctly as I suspect.
It's a hard one to play. I don't know how people do it.
Yeah, it's weird. I have thoughts that I'd have to organize a little better. But no, it was a good experience. At least I tried it. Like, you read through it and you get a, you know, like, oh, this sounds cool and exciting. And then I keep going back to my, you know, my sheet. And I'm like, man, I don't know. Maybe I'm missing what makes it good. But,
well, you didn't try to have sex with the dragon. You didn't seduce anybody.
No, yeah.
So I don't think you did it right at all.
I probably didn't do it right.
You weren't even like, I was trying to make Cyclops your like nemesis. You were like, ah, that guy's cool. I'm like, fuck, now what do I do?
Yeah, no, it was, it was an interesting D&D experience for me playing a bard. It's sort of like with the other thing we're doing with the level 17 characters, like Ranger, like in theory, I should like these classes, you know, and I'm not, you know, it's good. Good to get it out of the way.
I've never played a bard before. I don't think I played a paladin before either.
Like, Probably for boy most... was a paladin, and I loved that. So I don't know. Maybe it's literally like the utility of what it is and what it requires to. I don't know. I have to think about it some more. But
mm-hmm.
I will say the fifth edition warlock sucks compared to fourth. I mean, you get two spells. Like, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah. I didn't know how that. Yeah, I didn't.
I mean, you get Eldritch Blast as a cantrip, right? 120 feet, D10 plus whatever. So, like, you know, that's not bad, especially for a cantrip. But you're like, I don't know, is it time to use this spell? You know, like, I only get two, and it's like 10 in the morning. Like, what are we doing for the rest of the day? We want to grab some lunch, maybe take a nappies, you know?
And it's level locked too, right? Is that my...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so like I didn't care for that. And I guess I don't think I realized that going in that was the case. And it dawned on me the further we got into it. Cause then it just was like, oh yeah, you get two, like you could have a fourth level spell or whatever, but like you just only get two. And it's like, well, cool, I guess.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah. I don't know. The draw for the pacts, that's what they're called, pacts.
Yeah, yeah. Because they give you extra stuff. You can learn different spells, gives you access to different things. You know, your patron, depending on what you're playing, gives you a different, you know, kind of benefit or whatever.
Yeah.
Like I went tome, so I had like three extra cantrips with that, and then some other bonus for something or another. Okay. I don't remember. But yeah, I wouldn't play a warlock again probably, and I didn't cast a lot of spells either. I don't think. overall. Like, you know, not like playing a wizard, which again, you know, I guess you can still run out of spells fairly. But you get more than two.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. The invocation.
No wonder people play the same like couple of classes and that's it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, fighter's easy in any system, right? Like, it's the most, just let me punch a thing. And it's a good way to learn a system, right? Because you're learning at the, you know, like a more basic level, I guess. I don't know. I mean, the monk was fun. I played a monk. Fighter's fine, whatever. Thief is fun. But it's always to try to play against trope, though, right? Like, oh, maybe the half-elf or the half-elf rogue. Because you get all the bonuses line up. You know, before Tasha's, because it was never like, oh, yeah, shit, we can just put these bonuses wherever we want. And then Tasha's came in, and I was like, oh, fucking idiot. So then, you know, you could play your, you know, dwarven assassin or whatever the fuck, right? Like whatever other thing appeals to you so that you're not one of 10,000 of the, you know, the dragonborn paladin, because all the stuff lines up or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only other one like I've never played that I would think I would like would be the Druid. And then because Danielle has it on, has like, what is the game? What is that? Baldur's Gate, the new one?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like playing fifth edition, that game, but as a video game. And I played a Druid and I hated it.
Oh, really?
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.